Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning, 16th day of August. Thank you guys for letting us be a part of yours. Heading into this 9 o'clock hour. Good morning, Georgia!
Morning.
And a good morning to all the Smokey Robinson and the Miracles fans in Sugar Hill.
Yeah. Coming to the Fox Theater on October 3rd.
Are they really?
Yes.
Well.
Not they.
Yeah, I was gonna, he's coming.
Yeah.
Smokey. Smoky smooth. What was I going to say up top here? Oh, yeah. So, birthday. One of my favorite running backs of all time who does not get talked about nearly enough, the Nigerian Nightmare, his birthday today, Christian Okoye.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about Derrick Henry and wanting to try to tackle him. Go back and look at some footage of Christian Okoye when he played for Kansas City.
Yeah, you want to know? You want no part of that dude.
Yeah, yeah. They called him the Nigerian Nightmare. Also, James Cameron, his birthday today. And I'm going to say her age out loud because she likes to do that too. But you know who is 68 years old today?
68.
68 years old.
68.
Madonna.
Who? Madonna. I believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who?
No, Madonna.
Detroit's finest.
Yeah. Sorry,
yeah. Yeah. Well, she don't say that enough either. The guy who history says sold his soul to the devil. This was the day he left us. Do you remember who that blues guitarist was? Robert Johnson.
Okay.
Robert Johnson is, you hear that all the time, you know, at the crossroads. He sold his soul to the devil. And that is all surrounding Robert Johnson, whose music is in space someplace right there. He was in one of those crafts that sent up all kinds of crazy things from Earth that just is out there. What was it, the first thing that we sent up, like back in the 70s? I can't remember the name of the spacecraft, but we sent it up, and it was supposed to hit a certain planet by a certain year, and we got an update. I saw something last week where they had an update on it, and this thing is heading in a complete different direction and will never hit anything. But more importantly, the battery on it wears out in like 2-3 years. It started in the 70s.
Okay.
And it will burn out, and it was supposed to burn out while it was on this planet taking pictures, but it's never going to make it there. So, listen, tonight, we got this Braves game, and we hope that these guys somehow manage to get a game against Arizona. We're going to talk to Chad Bishop about that coming up in our next segment. But how much of the induction ceremony into the WNBA did you watch or replays of it?
I've just read about it. I didn't get a chance to really, really watch, any of the induction ceremony. But first of all, a great class that mm-hmm. went to the Hall of Fame. Overall, but this particular team, we talked about the 96 Olympic team, the people who remember the Olympics 30 years ago here in Atlanta got a chance to see, and on the heels of that launched what WNBA, which, you know, had to find its way down through the years, and now it's enjoying a state of prominence that we haven't seen before for the league, something that some people thought wasn't possible, but here it is. It's kind of fitting. Well, I'm glad that at this time, the people who helped to launch it are getting, you know, accolades mm-hmm. and getting the spotlight at the time of so many people are talking about this league.
I watched some of that. I watched Doc, obviously, get inducted, his family down there too. But just thinking about his career and who he was, and again, this is a personal connection with me and him because we went to the same church, and it brought up Maywood, Illinois, and talking about playing the Proviso East and all of that. And so, and then the guys he came up with. And he mentioned a name, and, you know, you talk about these guys who don't get – their careers kind of get just glossed over and the type of player that person was. But, you know, the west side of Chicago, you always start with Isaiah. Then you go Mark Aguirre. Doc's in there too. One of the people that you kind of sleep on is Terry Cummings. And there are power forwards who will tell you they wanted no piece of Terry Cummings
mm-hmm.
in his prime. And Doc mentioned him last night too. You know, that whole kind of DePaul connection back in the day there too. That was nice to hear. I did not hear, and I got it recorded. I'm going to go back and watch it today. I didn't hear Candace Parker's.
Yeah.
Another Chicago in there. I did not hear her, and I know she had a lot to say about Pat Summitt.
Shamequa Osclaw. Shamequa
had
well.
Some too.
You know, absolutely, I'm sure they both reflected quite a bit on Coach Summitt being part of the Lady Vols. So, and those are folks who you watch college women's college basketball in this part of the country. You're very familiar.
How many Hall of Famers they got? Would you say? Forgive me for putting you on the spot like that, but I was just trying to think. That coach has probably got to have a number of Hall of Famers.
If not, there will be. I don't know how many she has already. You know, with these two, I think there may be a couple others already, and some that may be on some teams that may make it in as well.
Mm-hmm. Here's one that I kind of enjoyed listening to: Joey Crawford, the ref. And the guys that he went up against, and it was funny watching the replays of him, you know, as his hair kind of went away. But the respect that he commanded from the all-time greats, enjoyed watching him. I just don't know how I feel about D'Antoni getting in there. You know, Mark Few, absolutely.
Do you?
Well, yes, because of the longevity. And there's something to be said for he was a great coach who stayed out there. But it wasn't just what he's done in Gonzaga either. It's this is overall career. I can see him more than D'Antoni. That's
even though
me.
D'Antoni has coached the championship team.
I just feel like, you know, there's nothing I can say out loud. It's just me and this dude. I just not been a fan of his.
You just don't like him. Just
yeah, I'm just
record and accomplishments. Forget.
No, I'm not forgetting about him. I'm just. I feel like there's some guys who should have gone before him. He's getting in right now, and there are some coaches who I feel like should have. But
I think, like you said, with Mark Few, it is the longevity, the fact that he's been at the one place, and he could have left. But he's remained at Gonzaga, a school that is, and the program has gone from being the bracket buster that everybody feared that would come in and upset your brackets during the tournament time to one, but there's an expectation. The thing of it is they've had trouble getting across the finish line.
Right.
And I feel like that time is kind of coming kind of past him, actually. He has some teams that were right there on the verge of it, and I don't know if he gets back there, but he's achieved this, obviously, for putting that brand, for making that brand and an expectation. When college basketball season rolls around, you expect something from that program, and he's reason for it.
Okay, I'm trying to go back here and look at this San D'Antoni thing here, and when they won it all, and I'm still not feeling them yet. Let's move on, because the more I just sort of stay on this. I'm going to sound even more like an idiot, but
okay.
I just this dude, and listen, I'm not the only one. Everybody has that guy who is one of the all-time greats or a great player, a superstar, whatever, but for whatever reason for you, you just ain't like him. We hear our producer talk about greats all the time who she ain't never going to give credit to. Right? We got a guy going to the Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah, she wasn't.
And she wasn't feeling him. So it's the same thing as that. It's kind of the same thing. So, but I enjoyed the ceremony. By the way, Ahmad Rashad, he got rid of his hair. He actually looks younger than the last time I saw him.
Okay.
Yeah, he looks younger. He needs to get rid of that earring, though. But.
You think so?
1999 is gone, man.
Well, he's doing his thing.
Just again.
You see that?
I'm being real critical today because I ain't in my seat. I'm in your seat. This whole day has been all discombobulated. This whole day.
You don't blame it on the seat?
This whole day has been, I've been like sitting in the side seat of my own car. You know, when you got to ride, somebody else is driving your car. This is what this whole show has been about.
A side seat, one of them little motorcycles.
Yeah, that's
right?
Me.
Right? Somebody else is driving the motorcycle. You're just sitting there.
Like Colonel Klink over here. Sidecar, and I'm not feeling this today. All right, so we start the show talking about this. John Pembleton, people should know who that is in Georgia. Robert Johnson, talked about Babe Ruth and Elvis. All these people died on this day. We lost them on this day, but you know what we left out? That house right down there on 10th Street and P Street, Margaret Mitchell.
Ah.
She passed on this day.
Really?
Shamu the Whale. Shamu the killer whale passed on this day.
No.
I don't care where you are on the planet. If you hear the name Dracula, you think of one actor, and that's Bela Lugosi. They even put his caricature on Sesame Street. Bela Lugosi passed.
You always think
day.
About Bela Lugosi?
If I say do a Dracula impression, go ahead, give it to me.
It may be silent.
No, come
on. If you think of the Dracula now.
No, no. Come on. Give me Dracula. You know, give me Count Dracula. You're going to do like these.
That's
Bela Lugosi. That's where everybody gets it from. I'm in a different seat. This whole seat is messing me all up
seat,
today,
the
man.
Seat. Let's blame it
I'll
on
blame
the seat.
I'll blame it on the seat.
Must be the seat.
okay, here. Well, no, we got Chad coming up here. Let's just talk Braves. Let's talk about what this is going to look like, the Braves being a part of the Little League Classic on the 23rd. This is where we should have been focusing throughout the day, how much we're looking forward to this, because it's going to be at the end of a week that's going to be arduous at best.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So for them to settle after dealing with Milwaukee and Minnesota and the Sox, get to just kind of put their feet up and enjoy being a little kid again, because you know that's the best part for them.
That's true. That's true. You know, a NASCAR note that I left out earlier. Kyle Larson last night, we mentioned that where he finished in the top 10 at the Richmond race, he left there, got on a jet and flew out to Iowa.
What?
Yeah, man, to race in Knoxville, Iowa. It's like a sprint car championship. And he was on the pole for that. They flew him back out there. And they delayed the start of the race. They had had some bad storms. They were trying to get the track in condition. And he managed to get out there and driving the thing. And I think he ended up winning it. So he won the Nashville Nationals sprint car. Those are those cars with the big wing on top of them and whatnot. You know, because he loves to drive those cars as well. So, but his day job, obviously, is with Rick Hendrick in NASCAR. So there he was in Richmond, Virginia. They had to get him on a jet and fly him out to Iowa in time. And this is a night race. Right?
Yeah.
You know, he's flying across a couple of time zones to get out there, and they get him out there and they get him in the car, and he drives to the win. So what a night. Remember, this was the guy who several years ago was trying to do the double-double with Indy and Charlotte,
right?
And this is one that was kind of wasn't planned or scheduled or whatnot, but he ends up running a double-double. This one has a top 10 finish in the Cup Series and wins the car, the race he was driving last night. So pretty impressive. He's probably going to sleep all day today.
Yeah. let's see. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We got to pick something for Chad to really jump on with this Braves team. Let's see if he can give us a clear picture of his thoughts on the starting lineup. I mean, the pitching staff.
The starting rotation.
Starting rotation.
That's the big thing we want to get from him.
That's what we want to get from him.
But he may have something else for
us. No, but that's what we're going to ask for. That's what we want.
Okay.
Forcing it on them. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Sam and Greg, 16th day of August, a Sunday, and you guys have let us be a part of yours. Thank you to the folks at Stockbridge, Union City, Carrollton, and Sugar Hill. Those were the pick cities for today's show. I don't know why I don't run them down more often.
Those were the four Salute. Cities.
Exactly. I'm going to make sure I get this one more time here before we leave. All right, my problem with get to Chad, and Chad has probably got something to say here to D'Antoni. He didn't win a championship in the NBA. He won it in Europe.
Okay.
And that year he won Coach of the Year that first time. I got a problem with that. First of all, the team didn't win. It was San Antonio that came out of the West, and they ended up winning the chip. Steve Nash got the MVP that year. He got Coach of the Year, and a lot of people feel like that's and that left a bad taste in some folks' mouths. And I think that's where it started with me and how they – a lot of individual awards for the players on his teams. Not a lot of rings. That's what I was going to say. Having said that, Chad, good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
We're doing fine. Chad Bishop joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 Game. Now, let me ask you a question. Sam and I, throughout the show this morning, have been talking about this upcoming week with the Braves and what's in store for them. Are you going to be on the road with them?
A little bit. I'll explain to you guys how we're doing it. We have Gabe Burns, my esteemed associate, will be in Minnesota for three. I'm flying to Chicago to take in the White Sox games, driving to Milwaukee to take in those two. And then the both of us will be meeting in Williamsport, Pennsylvania for the Sunday night baseball game.
There you go.
Yeah.
Teaming up
yep.
on it now.
Yeah.
Divide and conquer. Divide and conquer.
Yeah.
All right. So explain what's going on this weekend with Arizona, or are we sleeping on this Arizona team? Because they out west, you know, everybody talks about the Dodgers, but these guys may emerge when the dust settles.
Yeah, no doubt. I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, the Braves are certainly not playing well, and I think that started in Yankee Stadium. And to be fair, they've played some really, really tough pitching with what the Yankees rolled out there with Max Fried and Cam Schlittler and Garrett Cole, and now you're facing Brandon Pfaadt, and you got Michael Soroka on the hill today for the Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks are playing really well. It's crazy to think Braves played them back in April. I mean, that's ages ago, right? Completely different ball club, really, from both sides. And the Diamondbacks are playing outstanding baseball. And the thing I've liked watching them is just how active they are offensively, right? Putting the ball in play, laying bunts down, stealing bases, really putting pressure on the opposing team. And the Braves have not handled that well. And while Weiss always says it's not who you play, right? It's when you're playing them. And this is a real tough Diamondbacks out right now. Those guys are playing really well. But like I said, the Braves are not playing incredibly great right now either. So those two things combined have made for a series win for the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, folks, hey, always great to catch up with this guy. Spending time on this morning talking Braves baseball with Chad Bishop. And he is social. Always can find him at Mr. Chad Bishop, at Mr. Chad Bishop. Yeah, the bats have gone a little silent, you know, not as productive this weekend. They did get a great pitching start Friday night. They just weren't able to convert and get the win. Talk about this pitching staff who may be coming out. And I know one guy's up at Gwinnett that he got their eyes on. Hopefully he'll get a chance to come. But he seemed to have been very patient this season with Smith-Schauser. Didn't want to rush him. Where do you feel like he is right now, A.J. Smith-Schauser?
Yeah, I think he's ready, you know, right? His last two starts, actually, threw 95 pitches in each of those starts. The start prior gave up one hit, and that was a leadoff infield single to the first batter he faced, seven strikeouts. He's ready to go. It's just a balancing act with this Braves pitching staff. Excuse me. I know Grant Holmes had a terrible night last night, but before that had been outstanding in his last two starts. Bryce Elder seems to have turned the corner. We know what Martin Perez is going to do every single outing, and Chris Sale is your ace, and then you bring in Tyler Mahle over in the trade from the Giants. And so it's a situation now where you got some good options. Reynaldo Lopez is also coming off the IL soon from his little minor knee tweak that he had. And then you got to throw A.J. Smith-Schauser in the mix, and you got to make the decision, do we want this guy to be a long relief man out of the bullpen? Do we want to make him a starter and make one of these other current starters move to the bullpen? Do you want to go with a six-man rotation maybe for a week or two until you get to September? Or do you wait until September to call A.J. Smith-Schauser up? That could be the easiest solution. But, you know, with the lead, seven and a half games, you can't be too cautious, right? You can't go into a prevent defense here. You got to stay on the offensive. And having that arm like A.J. Smith-Schauser down at AAA is a valuable weapon. So you got to kind of figure out what to do with him, what's best for him and the team moving forward.
Chad Bishop joining Sam and Greg Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Is it too early to tell what kind of coaching style Walt Weiss has? Obviously, he's got the lead in the division, and things are looking good. As you mentioned, some of the guys are going to be coming back. Is it a little bit of Brian Snitker? Is it some Bobby Cox? Or is it his own? You said he's carving out his own path. How are you assessing this season and how he's handling the locker room and these players right now?
Yeah, I think it's all combined. I mean, you know, you got to remember this guy did manage under Brian Snitker for a long time, or he was a coach under Brian Snitker for a long time, and of course played under Bobby Cox, and then was a manager himself out in Colorado. And when we've talked to him about these topics before, it seems to be a very healthy balance. A guy that buys into the analytics, looks at them, buys into the technology, looks at that stuff, lets the players sort of focus on those sort of things, but also has a pretty astute old school feel for baseball, you know, when to make a gut decision, when the matchups tell him to do this, but he knows his pitcher is doing that, so he's going to go that direction. You know, being a player before, I think, helps a ton with these guys. Not to say that non-players who manage don't have the respect of their players, but, you know, there's something different, right? When you look up at your manager and you know that guy went through the grind and went through the spring trainings and went through the daily like I said, grind of it all. And Walt Weiss did that at the highest level, being a rookie of the year and playing for a long time in Major League Baseball. So I think that earns him some respect too. And he's got a lot of trust. He talks all the time about trust, about being open with the guys. There's no gray areas, right, with Walt Weiss. He's going to shoot it to you straight. And guys, I think, really, really appreciate that as well. And then in between the lines, super aggressive, right? When he sees a win, he's going to go for it. I was talking with someone the other day about how aggressive he is day in and day out. If he sees that win in front of him, he's going to go for it 9 times out of 10. And I think the players really appreciate that as well.
Thoughts about this, the way he's been doing some things with the batting order, and how you feeling about that? I know you want to give Ronald Acuna some days in right field, but also some days as DH. We're seeing Baldwin do some same things with him and kind of trading off the spots up as leadoff. You feel like that's something we're going to see continue down the stretch here?
I do. And that's something else I've sort of come to, enjoy watching with Walt Weiss teams is, and I know probably Braves fans in the past probably were frustrated with the exact same lineup rolling out there every single day. It's not that way with Walt Weiss, right? If there's a left-handed pitcher on the mound, you're going to get one lineup. If there's a right-handed pitcher on the mound, you're going to get a different lineup. If someone's struggling, they might get a day off. Like you said, we've seen Ronald Acuna hitting leadoff. We've seen him in the two-hole, flip-flopping with Drake Baldwin. We've seen Austin Riley buried at the bottom of this lineup for a long time. I'm curious to see if maybe he starts to move up a little bit. Some guys like Mauricio Dubon and maybe Michael Harris are cooling off a little bit. Do they slide down a little bit? He's not afraid to sort of shake things up and chain things up as far as the batting order is concerned. And I think I like that. And I think the players like it too, because it shakes up the mundaneness of it, right? Like coming to the ballpark every day. All right, I'm hitting seventh today, or I'm hitting second, or, I get the day off, which is frustrating for players, but I think they understand, like, time and time again, they need that day off to rest, to recuperate, to recover, to refocus. That's been huge for this team, and Walt Weiss is going to continue to do that. So really enjoyable to see the way he manages that batting order.
123 games so far this season. Two guys on this team have played every one. I know you know one of them, and that's Matt Olson. The other one is Ozzie Albies. Right below them at 122 is Austin Riley. You mentioned him a minute ago. How are you feeling about his bat and things turning around post-All-Star break?
Feeling better, right? It's still not great. Strikeouts are still way too high, but it's night and day from what it was before the All-Star break. And I really truly believe, talking to Austin all season long, I think it was probably a little bit too much information overload, right? Is it the shoulder? Is it the hip? Is it my batting stance? I'm watching video on this. I'm trying to tinker with this. I think it was just getting away for a few days, going to Mississippi, going back home for the All-Star break, and just playing with his boys, being out in the woods, not picking up a baseball bat. I really think that helped to recenter him and refocus him. And he's been great since the All-Star break. Putting the bat on the ball is the biggest thing, right? Like when you watch an Austin Riley game now, yeah, there's a couple strikeouts, but there's still some good hard contact. Walt Weiss, an analytical stat he always points to is expected batting average, which is kind of one of these new age things, right? Like what the heck does that mean, right? But it's that when a ball is hit, it's expected to land for a hit. Now, maybe the defense makes a great play on it and it goes out as a line out, right? But a ball that's hit over 100 miles off the bat, a ball that's hit at a great launch angle. He hit one the other night, 380 feet to the gap in right center, and the center fielder chased it down. Probably should have been a double. So things like that, watching with Austin Riley, like the at-bats are good, the contact is good. A lot of those are starting to fall in, and he's getting his batting average back up and being a big cog in this offense now.
Fantastic. I'm sorry, I was going to jump in there, but I thought you had something you wanted to ask. Well, listen, I just wanted, before we let him go here, I was talking about him earlier, and the one guy, the last person you think of on this team looking for any kind of publicity or shine or flowers is the guy who should be talked about in some cases the most, and that's Matt Olson. And the streak that he's on and who he is, just the stability of him on first base for this team, something that the managers have not had to think about since Freddie left. If you're sitting with somebody and they brought up this name, how would you talk about Matt Olson?
I mean, I think this season, at least, he needs to be in the MVP discussion. I don't know if he will be, right, because he doesn't play for the Dodgers, or he's not Pete Crow Armstrong, or he's not one of the best teams in baseball with the Brewers. But man, I mean, what that guy does day to day, and you can look at the offensive numbers, but what he does defensively, stretching out and collecting balls and stopping balls from getting to the backstop, playing the position of first base, And then being a leader in the clubhouse, nobody talks about a ton. I mean, he's typically the last guy to leave that clubhouse when we're in there most nights. He's always willing to stand up for the team when they lose a game. He's just the consummate pro, right? He goes about it the right way and never seems to go in a prolonged slump offensively. He's going to have an 0-for-4 or a 1-for-4 or an 0-for-3 a couple of nights back-to-back, but that's not going to last very long. I mean, the guy is just incredible, really, what he does. And a lot of those homers this season, why I put him in that MVP discussion, are 8th inning, 9th inning, tying the game, taking the lead. Mm-hmm. Seems to come in those, you know, quote-unquote clutch moments, man. The guy just continues to get it done. And, you know, I hope for his sake, his name is in that MVP discussion when we get here into September.
Chad, just last night, Braves are out of this game, but Matt Olson comes up late, gets a double, ends up scoring. It was a run that didn't matter, but as you just said, he doesn't go to sleep despite the score, and he gets up there and gives you everything he's got. The guy reminds me—
He's not, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, he is the Atlanta Braves' Tim Duncan. He's that guy. You know what I mean?
Just yeah, night in and night out. You know what you're going to get. And like you said, I mean, just because he's so quiet and so reserved, probably doesn't get the notoriety or the attention around the league that he probably should. But that's just who he is, man. He's just ho-hum Matt Olson, and he's going to be in there every night, and he's probably going to hit a home run for you.
Listen, will you be able to talk to us next Sunday from Williamsport? You think?
You betcha, man. Night game, I'll be all yours.
All right. We want to talk to you next Sunday when you're in Williamsport,
yep.
And we'll get a report from there, but also on this week from the Braves. So, as always, Chad Bishop, we thank you very much, man, and travel safely.
All right, guys. Thanks.
There you go. Chad Bishop joined us. I was going to tell him to get me some pizza and bring it back here from Chicago.
Yeah, it's going to be good. Nah.
I wanted to be good. And I don't think it'll make it through Williamsport and then back here. We're going to wrap things up. Coming a little bit, some stuff we have not even mentioned yet. This is Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on this Sunday morning, the 16th day of August. Didn't I tell you this is a crazy day as far as people that we lost? All on this one day. We have days at birthdays. You know, why is it LeBron, James Brown? Not James Brown.
James Jim Brown. Brown. What?
Well, it's Jim Brown, Michael Jordan, who's it celebrating birthdays, you know, all in the same day. Tiger Woods. I think December 22nd is LeBron and Tigers and a handful of other people. And then February something is Jim Brown and Jordan and a handful of others. So it's one of those days on a calendar where a surprising number of celebrities, if you will, are connected with that date.
Okay.
So there you go. We started the show talking about something that happened yesterday in baseball that had never happened before. Rookie, St. Louis Cardinals, kid by the name of Joshua Baez, in his first three plate appearances, hit three home runs.
Ah.
Hit him in, first of all, he hit him against the arch nemesis, their arch nemesis, and that would be the Cubs. And he did it in Wrigley Field. And each one of those home runs went to another part of the outfield. First one was in center. Second one was in left. Third one was in right. This is Joshua Baez, 23 years old.
What an entrance.
Exactly. Nobody had ever done that before in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
So congratulations to him. The other thing, have you been paying any kind of attention to this whole Aaron Donald thing? Out there with the Rams.
Yeah, it's been something just kind of out there. And, you know, you expect him to be there.
You do?
Oh, yeah. I think he will.
Well, I do, too, and I think it's a great story, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm just kind of tapering back this whole it could be the greatest defense we've seen in a while. I won't say even all time, but even in a while. First of all, them dudes got to stay healthy for 17 games.
That's true. You know. And we're assuming he's going to come back and be that guy that he's been, but he's been away from it for a little bit.
Well, here's the thing. He don't have to be that guy when he comes back because that guy was getting double-teamed all the time.
Right.
Now you can't do that with Garrett on the other end.
That's true.
So he really only has to be maybe 95% Aaron Donald, which is still scary.
It's scary that both of them will be on the same team. Mm. So, yeah. I think they're gearing up to really throw everything they can at it this time, considering their quarterback, where he's at, and coach may want to say, hey, you know, if I can get these guys across the finish line, I will want me a couple of these. I'll go step out and, you know.
Well, he would be doing it in style, right? Because his two rings.
Do Sunday Night Football or something for a little while, and if he wants to get back in another time, he can. You know, he's at an age when he could do that if he wanted to.
But he will want them both at home. If he wins this year, it's the same place. He'll be playing at home.
Yeah.
Because technically, they're awarding it to the Chargers, but he will be at home. Here's my question. I was thinking about this ride in. Have they chosen a halftime entertainment for this upcoming Super Bowl? Noel? Have they picked the
I don't think so.
Not yet.
And now, who you think that any thoughts on who you'd like to see?
I don't know.
I don't either. I'll be honest with you. I was thinking about this. I was like, who? But then again, they're not putting this halftime show on for me and you, Sam.
I know.
They ain't doing it for us. They're doing it for Noel and those younger. So I don't know who that would be. And we know it ain't going to be Taylor Swift.
Okay.
Yeah. I think she's so upset at them for not asking her in years past. But maybe she'll do something. If it was her, maybe she could try and top Rihanna, and she'd go do hers pregnant, too. You know, she's got throwing that out there, right?
Do that, right?
Well, maybe her and Travis will get ready to start a family, and she can say, oh, I did a Super Bowl halftime with child, too.
Yeah, a little extra assist.
I don't know. What you got, man?
No, that's what I would think, you know. We'll see what happens with that. But that's one of the watches we had for this week. It's another week. We get set for the Falcons. They're going to have a morning workout tomorrow. With media availability, you see if we get a chance to talk with James Pierce Jr. He did not speak to us after the game Friday night. We were saying that he may speak this week. He had not spoken with us before this decision being made by the National Football League, and understandably so. But we're going to see if he will say anything. Our only day here in Atlanta to speak with him will be tomorrow, Tuesday, right. Media. But no media availability on Wednesday. They travel up to Indianapolis for the rest of the week. So if he's going to speak to us at all, that will be tomorrow morning. Thankfully, tomorrow's practice will be a morning practice and not these afternoon practices that have been in the sweltering, blistering heat up at Flowery Branch. You know, that's one thing they've done during this training camp. Most of the practices have been in the morning, and by the time 11 o'clock rolls around, the guys are pretty much coming off the field.
They're talking about hitting three digits today. Late in the afternoon.
You know, so tomorrow they will be in the morning, and to me that's a good thing. And you want to see, because obviously this is the week they're going to go and they're going to do the workouts, the joint workouts with the Colts, and that's when we expect to see the regulars kind of line up, as many as can, line up and go at it and give the coaches something more realistic to do their planning on as far as the process of elimination with some guys who's going to be a part of this team, who's really got to fight for a spot on the roster. More evaluations will come after that.
I'm a little upset at you and Noel for leaving this story out of today's show. We should have been talking about Noel's neighbor from jump, Clarissa Shields.
Yeah, she won last night. And you know, State Farm Arena was packed.
It was packed. Just so folks don't know, she got a TKO victory over Kay Scott to reclaim the WBC and WBA championships.
And now there's a fight. She has that lips in line for a fight, I think, to unify all of them, the alphabet soup, the WBA, WBC, and IBF, against Lauren Prince, who has agreed to jump up two divisions to face Shields. So that's apparently what's coming up. It sets up the big, big bout for Shields. But congratulations to her.
Yeah.
Been in town. And
she enjoy her time in town, you think?
Seemed like she did. You know, she had a nice time here in Atlanta. Seemed like the city served her well.
And I didn't know if you wanted to jump in if our producer was, she's doing something right now. Okay.
Yeah.
She was one
Greg trying to blow up the spot.
Yeah, man. Don't do that. Yeah, but her record is now 19-0. And
Wee!
Yeah. Is it Floyd Mayweather was over there watching last night, so he showed up.
Really?
Yeah, he came through.
I have not seen a knockout in women's boxing. She's got four. I've just never seen it. I've seen people get knocked down. I've just not seen a Tyson knockout. So
didn't Christy Martin get knocked out by Leila Ali?
Yeah, I think so.
Might have, but I didn't see it.
Ooh-wee.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah,
don't look Christy, what I remember about Christy Martin is she did not, she left everything in the ring.
Yeah, boy.
She left everything. She didn't take none of her talent back home with her after a fight.
That's for sure.
It was all there. And that's what I remember of her.
Yeah.
She took that same tenacity in there with Layla Ali. It just didn't get the results.
Yeah. I mean, I just, you know, look, she was a pioneer. One of the first ones doing what she was doing. So, God bless her. Again, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Now, next week, you and Chris Parker, because I remember last year, mm-hmm. from time to time, you guys would tease on our Sunday show what you had coming up mm-hmm. on the upcoming Friday night.
Yeah.
High school show.
It was Friday night. The Friday night, like I said, is going to be a game. We're doing this Friday night. We're mm-hmm. doing the last game of the Corky Kell Dave Hunter Kickoff Classic. And that's going to be the third of three games at Georgia State. And that's going to be Houston County against West Forsyth. So we'll be on the play-by-play call for that. And during that time, while we're on, we'll probably be relaying some scores from around the areas they come in. So we'll be doing a little bit of a scoreboard show. But more or less, we're going to be calling the game, doing play-by-play.
When do you guys put school days?
School days. That's when we do our first full show, which is going to.
But you don't have a list of guests already, sort of.
We have a potential guest. We have, especially with the new inductees into the High School Football Hall of Fame, the new electees that will be inducted in October. So some of them will be joining us this time, and we'll as we get set to have those full shows, we'll let you know.
All right, I should have told her off mic, but before we leave, Noel, can we get one more Mike Conti call, even if it's a replay from one of the others, because we had him in a while, right? So we want to hear Atlanta United got it done against New York Red Bulls, a team that, as Sam put it, they've just been like a pebble in the shoe of Atlanta United since day one. And yesterday we talked to Jason Longshore, and it just seemed like, here we go again. This is not going to be anything positive when we come on Sunday mornings, but yet it was. 2-1 was the final. And so every opportunity we get to play a Mike Conti goal, we're going to do it. Noel?
Play it ahead to Cooper Sanchez, who turns at the right halfway line and dribbles into the Red Bulls half and flicks it ahead now to Yakob. Yakob with a cross to Moranchuk. Poke to Moyenba inside the arc. Shot! Score! In the first half, he put one over the crossbar from close range. He makes up for it with a beautiful goal here in the 70th minute to equalize.
See what happens, as Jason said, when you don't get a red card? if you don't get a red card, things should end up like that. That was the first thing he wanted to make sure. And in how these guys played, he says once that red card happened against Philadelphia, they actually played defensively in a way that was, I won't say surprising, but, you know, they did what they had to do. It was just them running out of gas toward the end of Philadelphia.
Trying to survive and whatnot, but they're able to get the win. Let's see if that continues Wednesday on the road up in Minnesota. Also want to remind people about Thursday night over in Athens. Soccer returning to Sanford.
Oh, yeah.
Later, right? The soccer in Sanford for the first time since 1996. Of course, when we had the soccer for the Olympic Games, we played there. We're going to have soccer. They're going to have the Georgia women taking on James Madison, and they're seeking to set a new record for collegiate attendance for collegiate soccer, and I think they should smash it. They really should,
okay.
Because when I look at what the number is in the past, the NCAA record for largest crowd to see a collegiate soccer game is 14,410 for women, 22,512 for men. We are going to just obliterate that playing in San Francisco. I think all the enthusiasm and excitement for soccer that has gone on around our area this year, and especially this summer, I think is a great thing that's happening over at University of Georgia. Going to be this Thursday evening. It's going to be free to go and attend it. Tickets, you can get it on the Georgia's website, or the Georgia Dogs website there. And go over, enjoy it, be a part of history. Sometimes you like to watch history, you read about history, you hear about history. Sometimes you like to go and actually be a part of history.
Like them 200,000 people that were in Fulton County Stadium that night when Hank Aaron hit that home run?
All 200,000 of them. And every now and then you meet one. You meet somebody, oh, I was there. Oh, yeah, sure you were. Yeah, you get on people, right? So, yeah, but you could say you were actually there. Yeah. And for all the people who were still upset for 1996, they're not going to move the hedges. The hedges are going to stay just where they are. It's going to be just quite nice because a lot of people still got their fists balled up about them moving them hedges 30 years ago.
What are you talking about?
The fact that they moved the hedge, they had to move the hedge. In order, a soccer pitch is wider.
Right, I understand that. Right, yeah, right. We know that.
So the hedges were taken out. You didn't know that?
No, I didn't know that story. 30 years ago? No, I wasn't paying attention in UGA.
They took the hedges out.
Wasn't here.
And then they reinstalled them or put some new ones in there. You plant them, you put them in the dirt, they'll grow. You know,
true.
But people would not. I know people who are Georgia alums or big Georgia fans, not happy about the hedges.
Hmm.
No, not for soccer. Maybe you moved them out for something else, but not for soccer.
Well, that soccer brought in some money, right?
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Then they put the hedges back, and they put
their back. So I don't think they're going to move them out this time. You know, so it's going to be soccer between the hedges. There we go.
John Fricke is up next. Mr. Crenshaw, we'll see you this week, CBS.
Yep, CBS Atlanta, headed down to see WNBA action later on today at 5 o'clock.
All right, check out Beauty in Black on Netflix. And once again, 929thegame.com/castingcall. And Get Cast with Greg is where you can see these job opportunities in front of the camera. And I walk you through how to find jobs behind the camera. Thank you for letting us be a part of your weekend, Noel, thank you for everything.
Thank you.
For the rest of you, have yourself a wonderful rest of your Sunday morning. John Fricke's up next. It's Sam and Greg. We'll be back next Saturday. Sports Radio, 929 The Game.